Last month, the month of June, the world has made us Pride Month. And sodomy is running rampant in this country. Luke chapter 17, 2 Peter chapter 2, Jude verse 7, all connect that you're in the end times and that we're nearing the return of Christ, and some of the signs that's repeated in those three passages that you'll see sodomy becoming more and more open, more and more public. And to be quite blunt on things, the spirit of sodomy has swept this world in our lifetime. It's happened. You know, it wasn't something before. I mean, even when I was a kid, the sin was there, but never spoken of. It was shameful, it was dark. And now it's been legalized in 30 nations and counting. Most of our major corporations in the United States not only support it, but endorse it. Commercials are becoming more bold. Television shows are becoming much more bold. It's an agenda that's being pushed upon this world. This past year, one of the largest sodomite parades ever took place in Tel Aviv, Israel. In 2020, 4% of Americans, 4%, claim to be part of that community. According to the census that wrapped up at the end of 2021, and got the statistics from the Human Rights Campaign, but according to that, in the 1 year, it had gone up to 8% in 2021. I'm sure it's higher now. It's sin. It's sin. We love people, and people need to be reached, but that is sin. Amen. All right. Y'all need to participate tonight. All right. Amen. All right. It is sin. So here's the topic. What do we do when our loved one, our family member, our close relative comes out and claims to be a sodomite? You say, it won't happen to my family. If the Lord doesn't come back in the next few years, yeah, it will. You're all really quiet because I really hit a topic that we don't want to talk about. We're not going to show hands, but if we raised our hands tonight, how many of us have people in our family that claims to be a sodomite? I think it would surprise how the great majority of our hands would go up tonight. So what do we do? Because we just don't like to talk about it. Right? Y'all just, it's truth. I haven't said anything wrong, right? So what do we do when someone close to us, a family member, a friend? Because the longer the Lord tarries is coming, you can expect from the Word of God that this is going to become more and more of not just a open sin, but a promoted sin. They're trying to teach our children in kindergarten about these things. They're setting the stage and trying to prepare people to get involved in this sin. So what do we do when our cousin? What do we do when a good friend? What do we do when one of our children? What do we do when one of our uncles or aunts? How do we handle that as a Christian? Because we have a lot of questions about it. Like, should they come over? Should we go to family reunions? Again, I think the majority of us in this auditorium, we are having to deal with this, and these are questions that we don't want to talk about, but they're legitimate questions. What do we do? So I have it here in Genesis chapter 13. Here's why. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. You say, why in the world are we here? Well, I believe that if we have questions for life, the answers are found in the Word of God. I believe that. And I really prayed about this and really sought the Lord on this and really been trying to study and letting the Lord lead. And for months and months, really, since we began our topic, because this is going to be an issue. It's been an issue already. Some of the questions that were asked next door in our Kids of Palooza, 12-year-olds are asking this question. It's the world we live in. So in seeking the Lord led me here. Because, now follow me, follow my logic, don't write me off, all right? Because Lot, the very first mention, again, and I don't like using the word, you know, gay. Gay means happy. The Flintstones, they had a gay old time, amen? It just means happy, all right? You know, I don't even like the term homosexual. That's a man-made term. It's a total man-made term to cover sin. That's all it is. It's not real. All right? Even the term heterosexual, it's not real. Not a term. You say, well, I'm heterosexual. Well, all right, you can say that. It's a man-made term. God said male and female. That's it. That's it. All right? You say, well, I have an attraction to the opposite sex. There's a reason. God made you that way. Everything else is sin. Amen? You're scared to death this is going online. It's okay. All right? It's okay. All right? I'm not saying anything wrong. And if you'll stay with me, you'll see this, all right? You know, I use the word sodomite because that's what the Bible word is, all right? And I'm not angry about that. There's a group out there that, you know, that thinks that sodomites are reprobates and cannot be saved. There's a bunch of people preaching that. I'm not going to give you the names because I don't even want you to look the guys up, all right? But they're Baptist. And they're wrong. He said, well, how do you? Well, because we'll look at it later, but Paul said this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, adulterers, fornicators, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, and such were some of you. Amen? That means they got saved and changed. Amen. But there's a group out there that preaches that they cannot be saved, or they should have, you know, that you should write them off, and all that's false. Right. So, why here? Well, because, and again, here's the part where I don't want you. Lot became a sodomite. Now, he didn't act in the sin. That's not difficult, right? He became a citizen, right? He did not act in the sin. But the first mention of the word Sodom is right here. With these verses, and Lot went to that world. Right. Amen? Amen? That's what it says. Right. All right? I'm in no way accusing Lot of being participant in this sin, but he surrounded himself by this life. Right. Our question tonight is, what do we do as believers when a loved one has claimed this life? And I want to propose to you today that an answer is found, I believe, in the way Abraham responded to Lot. Follow me on this. I encourage you to jot these down, all right? Because obviously everybody's really thinking with me, right? Or you're mad at me, one. So I'm going to go with thinking, all right? All right. Number one, verses 5-7. You can expect strife. Expect strife even before, I hate using this term, but they separate or come out from you. Again, verse number 7, there was what between? Strife. There was strife. I say this because it's right here, and we're going to go through the scripture, and we're going to see it, but I also say it from experience, that there's always, 100% of the time, there's always, before this person comes out, there's strife. Family's not getting along together. There's differences. You start to see changes. And there's conflict that happens. There's differences. There's enmity. And the fact is this, that one of the great issues is that we are being fed this lie that, you know, well, we just have to accept everything and just get along. You can't, as a Bible believer, just accept everything. You can't just, you know, well, we're just going to ignore this. You can't. You can't. What it creates, usually even before they come out, are arguments, grudges, differences, frustrations. But there will always be strife. So number one, expect strife. Number two, when these things are happening, number two, as a believer, encourage separation. Now stay with me. Verse number 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself. Encourage separation. I want you to listen to what I'm saying, so no one, this is going to be one of those sermons I already know that's going to be pits, little bits and parts are going to be taken out and made out of context, all right? So listen to the whole sermon here. Listen to what I'm about to say. Abraham's love never changed towards Lot. Never changed. He never once quit loving him. He even said this in verse number 8. He said, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be what?
Brethren.
We're still family. That's a really important thing to note. I'm probably taking you on a roller coaster ride. You think I'm going to be mean, and you think I'm going to be too nice, and then you're right, you're trying to figure this out, right? But Abraham's love never changed. He even said to him, we're family. But Abraham never condoned Lot's choice. Did Lot choose wisely? No. Did Abraham say, wonderful decision? No. He never condoned Lot's choice. He never compromised his stand. And he never conceded to Lot's ways. Did you hear those three things? He never condoned Lot's choice. He never compromised his stand, Abraham's, and he never conceded to Lot's ways. I'm trying to preach this from the perspective of what if one of our loved ones head towards this environment? That lifestyle. Abraham never said, hey, it's okay. He never said, I'll come spend some time with you. And he never said, that those are some good ideas and some good thoughts. And the question may be, well, how do you separate? How do you handle that? If you're still going to show them love, and you should still love them, but you still have to separate. Lot had to leave, right? Look over in chapter number 14 real quick. In chapter 14, one of my favorite names, the wicked king Chedorlaomer. Chedorlaomer and this group of kings went, and verse number 2, they made war with Sodom. They defeated Sodom. Now I will come back to this passage later. Abraham went and rescued them. And then, look at this real quick, because I want you to see the point. Go back to chapter 13, verse number 13. All right? Chapter 13, verse 13 says, but the men of Sodom were what?
Wicked
and? That's still the same group. When Lot first went there, they're the same group that you end up reading about before destruction. You with me? Abraham goes in chapter 14 and he delivers them, verse 16 of chapter 14. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the what? The people. He brought back all them wicked people. Where did he bring them back to? His camp. Because Lot's gonna, and they're all gonna leave after they have a conversation, they go back to Sodom. Now, we end in the next few chapters. Remember when the angels went to visit Lot? What were these wicked sinners doing? They were doing what? Knocking on the door, right? Bring these people, deliver them to us. Want to do wicked things, right? Same people in chapter 13, right? Same people in chapter 14, right? They didn't knock on Abraham's door. They didn't go around trying to do anything in Abraham's camp. Right? Are you following that? You have to have some separation. That doesn't mean they can't be around you, but when they're around you, it's on your turf. Following that? It's on your turf, and they have to go by your rules. Amen? Is that amen? It has to be on your turf according to your rules. They had to follow what Abraham. No one's going around the tents. No one. Were they the same wicked people? Yes. It wasn't like this happened in 80 years later, all right? Same people. But Abraham controlled the environment. I say that to say that there must be a separation. There has to be a separation, absolutely. But that doesn't mean you can't ever be around them. But it needs to be on your turf with your rules. In other words, God forbid, but that family member, can they come to the house? Yeah. But listen, you're not going to do any of this stuff at our house. I'm never to see it. My children aren't to see it. It's not to be discussed. It's not to be alluded to, but you are welcome to come and sit in my living room. You say, well, they won't come. It's their choice. And they'll never point the finger at you that you threw them away. Did Abraham have them in his camp? Yes. These are hard things, I know, right? Everybody's like, it's what the Bible says, right? But they went by Abraham's rules. There'll be no public displays of affection. There'll be no talking of your future plans. And if there is, these are my house and you can't do that here. So you have to encourage some separation, but you have to understand something really important here. It's a wicked sin, but so is fornication. So is adultery. Keep your finger there. Go over to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And if you really don't like anything I say, fine. I just ask you to study it and pray about it and read the Word of God. All right? That's what I've been doing here for months preparing, right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look down at verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's exactly what we're talking about. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed. Amen. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He shares this here, and as such were some of you. He lists these sins here along with, and I'm not belittling the sin, but sodomy is just a deeper perversion of fornication and adultery. It's what it is. and they can be delivered from it. Amen. They can be delivered from it. There's a spirit amongst a lot of people, unfortunately, in Baptist churches that we're just like, well, God kills them all. Like, well, that's not the heart of God speaking. Does it make you upset when you see all this stuff on television? Yeah. When you read the news? Yes. It does, because I know where that path leads. But you should be just as upset when there's fornication. Just as upset when there's adultery. So what do we do? How do we, you know, interact? I think it's really important. I wrote down two words. I encourage you to write down these two words, all right? And these two words are, be careful. Be careful. And care for. Be careful and care for. Be careful. What I mean by careful is this: they can't have an influence. Their influence, their indecency, their indulgences. You don't need to watch it, you don't need to see it, and you don't need your family to see it. You got to be careful. But you need to care for them. They should know that they're loved by you. They should know they're wrong. But they should know there's hope. Amen. If you had a child that is shooting up heroin, and they're sustainable, it ain't like they're, you know, living under a bridge. It's a terrible addiction. It's a terrible sin. Amen? If you see them at the family reunion, if you invite them over to your house, fine. But there'll be none of that at our house, right? If they tried, you'd ask them to leave. So with this, here's my rules. I'll leave it up to you. But if you can't follow them, that's your choice, because it's not allowed here. But listen, Abraham never went to their environment. Right. He never. Show me where he visited Sodom. He never did. Was Lot brought into his camp? And the people? Yeah. Did he go to them? No. Let's keep going real quick. Number one, expect strife. Number two, encourage separation. Number three, I wrote down the word eschew or hate sin. Chapter 13, back in Genesis, in verse number 11. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the men of Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Abraham didn't follow him. Abraham kept a distance between them. And here in the scriptures we have written down what those men were, and Abraham knew what those men were. And I say eschew sin or hate sin in this way. If, God forbid, but in the world and the way the world's going, we're probably going to face this more and more. When and if that happens, Abraham did not take it personal, but he did make sure that his family and his ministry and his children were safe. And I believe from the reading of the verses here, and the fact that Isaac didn't go running down later, right, or whatever the case was, and didn't participate in these things, that he made sure, and this is what we have to do, is make sure our family, our ministry, our children understand the wickedness of this sin. Again, I'll just make up a name. If Uncle Steve goes into the sin, Your children, if they're a little bit older, they're not idiots. And in the world that we live in, unfortunately, especially, I strongly preach against this, but if your kids are going to public education and public schools, they're going to be introduced to this way too early. And they're going to know all these words and these things, and when the topic ever comes up, you need to sit down and express and show your children from the Word of God why this is a sin. Teach it to them. They say, well, they're only 12. They're teaching it to them at 4 years old in a public school. So teach them the truth. You don't have to go in some weird details, all right? But teach them the truth. Start in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. God created Adam, and he created Eve. And teach us God's plan. And that anything contrary to that is sin. Amen? Hate sin. You got to put up some guards. You got to teach. So I don't want to teach my kids that. If it's introduced to them, you better teach them the truth. Because even if you try to protect them, their cousins are going to talk. So you need to make sure they know. Number four, I love this part. I just went through and studied this, but number four, he entreated the Savior. Look what it says in verse 13. The men of Sodom, this is where Lot went, were what? Wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him. Isn't that an awesome verse? Stop. Think Abraham hurt when he went off to that world? Yes. Of course he did. You can say yes in church, all right? Of course he hurt. And after Lot went away and was separated, the very first thing we read is this. God spoke to Abraham. Amen? God knew he was hurting. And the Lord and Abraham began to talk immediately. And look at what he told him. In verse number 14, Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was departed from him, number one, lift up now thine eyes. What did he tell him, number one? Ready? Here's my outline on this. Abraham, get your head up. Amen? Again, I'm not making up anything. It's what the Bible says, all right? Arise, all right? Lift up now thine eyes. Get your head up, because the fact is this, if you face this or should you face this, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I talked to someone this past week and spent some time with them who had a family member go into this lifestyle. And I asked them questions. I gave him my sermon, and they said, yes, 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 yes. And they said, if there's only one thing I would ask that you mention is this, that you feel so alienated, so shameful, but the fact is what this person found is that there were many other people who were going through the same thing, but nobody wants to talk about it. And he said, take your mask off and help each other. Talk to each other. Because you feel you're defeated at first. And the first thing that God said to Abraham was, lift your head, right? Get your head up. Second thing he said is this, get your heart set. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. What's he reminding Abraham of? His promise. So what's he tell Abraham? Get your head up. The promises are still true. Amen? Now that's what he did. you ought to at least be like, wow, this is really cool, right? Isn't it pretty interesting, right, Joshua? Thank you, right? I mean, that's what he said. Get your head up. Get your heart set. My promises are still true. And then in verse, the next verse here, in verse number 17, all right, said, I will make thy seed the dust. In verse 17, arise, walk through the land. Get your head up. Get your heart set. My promises are still true. And then I wrote, hasten on. Go on. Do right, Abraham. Don't quit. Don't sit and mope around. You keep doing right. One of the reasons why a wicked world claims the victories all the time is because Christians are living so defeated, and we sit around and keep our mouths shut and act like God's to let all of us down, when we need to stop and just keep on serving Him and praising Him, knowing that His promises are true. Get your head up, get your heart set, hasten on. And then Abraham honored the Lord. In verse number 18, then Abraham removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I'm going to worship God. Amen. I'm going to go on. I'm going to do what God told me to do, and I'm going to worship the Lord. So you can expect strife, encourage separation, eschew evil, entreat by the Savior. All right, number 5, extend salvation. Chapter number 14, Chedorlaomer comes. Now listen, Abraham didn't pay Lot's way to go into Sodom. Abraham never paid for Lot's issues in Sodom. He never participated in any way. But on the occasion that Lot hit rock bottom, Abraham tried to help him. Not with money. He went and tried to deliver him out of that. I say extend salvation. Abraham was willing to put himself out there and go to great extremes to deliver him when he hit rock bottom. You can't endorse, you can't participate, you can't promote, you can't encourage in any way that wicked lifestyle. But eventually that wicked lifestyle will leave someone in destruction, captivity. Thoughts, they'll try to take their own life. That's what happens. They go on and find comfort because of their sin and drug addictions, and they overdose, and they hit rock bottom. Who'd I say? Uncle Steve's what I made up, right? When he hits rock bottom, be there. Be there. Let me help you now. You say, what if he don't accept it? That's between him and the Lord. Take that opportunity to try to give him the truth again. Don't sympathize with him. Don't say, I'm so sorry. But instead say, I understand where you're at. I can help you to get victory. And point him to the Lord. Abraham went through great extremes to try to deliver Lot when he hit rock bottom. Number 6. Now, here's the fact. Abraham went back to it, didn't he? Or Lot did. Lot went back to that world, didn't he? He did. And there's a chance they might too. But if people die and go to hell, if people destroy their lives, may they know that there were people that loved them and tried to help them. And Lot didn't chase him back, or Abraham didn't chase him back to Sodom. He tried to deliver him. I believe through all of this, if you go back and again, expect strife, encourage separation, eschew evil, you're being treated by the Savior, extend salvation, and by no coincidence, everybody look at me, by no coincidence will this sixth thing happen. He encountered the Sovereign. Abraham went back, right? Verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Who's Melchizedek? That's the Lord. Hebrews makes that very clear. That was the Lord. I make this point to say this. When Abraham followed these steps and did what was right, even though Lot didn't listen to him, when he went to extremes and tried to deliver him and put himself out there, he drew closer to God than he had ever been before. That's a safe statement to say. The Lord came to him to encourage him. Amen? A lot of times we just throw our hands up and we want to hide everything. We never want to talk about it, try to ignore it, and we never want to address anything. And we just want to live in this little world and put a box around us, and we never try to reach them. And then we wonder, God, why aren't you doing anything? We need to do what we're supposed to do. And I believe we will find God will minister to us as we do these things and do what's right. And then the last point's really easy. There was endless supplication. He continued to pray for him the whole time. And I present to you tonight, I think you know this, chapter number 18, right? Had Abraham not been praying, Lot would have been killed with all the rest of them. Right? But praise God, that guy had an uncle who kept praying for him. In chapter 18, and there's all kinds of verses we could go to, but verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And you know how he continued interceding for Lot in this passage of Scripture. But listen to me, I'm going to say these points in closing prayer. Though Lot rejected Abraham's dwelling, he kept on praying. Though Lot refused the deliverance that Abraham offered, he kept on praying. Though Lot remained in a defiling environment, he kept on praying. And though Lot faced the reproving of absolute destruction, he kept on praying. So if this happens, and if we raised our hand, I think there'd be a lot more than you think. And if God doesn't come back in the next few years, there's going to be a lot more. What do we do? Well, you can expect some strife, and you're going to have to encourage some separation. You have to take a strong stand against the sin. But you'll find the Savior will minister to you, and His promises are still true, and you can still live for the Lord. When and if they hit rock bottom and you have an opportunity to point them to the Lord, do it. And you'll find the presence of God more real in your life, probably, than you have in a long time. But whatever you do, don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Because God can still deliver. It's uncomfortable to talk about, but that's what these Thursdays are about.